Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast, where we inspire you to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. And today I have a very interesting guest, and we're going to talk about something that is in the news. It's called Black Lives Matter. Everyone's heard about it. Most people would consider it political, of course. But I think even in situations like that, those of us who know God need to deal with these things through the power of the Holy Spirit. And my guest comes from California. His name is Kevin McGarry. And you are going to want to stay tuned to hear my interview about an alternative to Black Lives Matter.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back and welcome to you, Kevin. Thank you for taking time. We are actually talking in Dallas, Texas at a conference we were at. And when I heard you talking about every Black Life Matters, I thought, I've got to find out what's going on. And then you gave me a t-shirt and then we became friends. And I said, I want to do a podcast. So here we are. I apologize to my listeners for the acoustics, but hey, what can you do when you're on site? But this is so important. We need to deal with it. So, you know, Black Lives Matter has been around for a few years. Only recently does it seem to be in the news everywhere. Only recently have I become aware of how very radical they are in terms of their own statements on their own website. So tell me why you are setting up an alternative called Every Black Life Matters.
Yeah, Steve, it's a pleasure to sit down with you, and so thank you very much for the opportunity to just tell you a little bit about how we started and why we started. Every Black Life Matters is truly an alternative to the Black Life Matters movement. Essentially, we started because we realized that Black lives really do matter, and they really, due to the plight in general in the Black community, we really do need an opportunity to better engage with the Black community about the issues that really affect us. Unfortunately, Black Lives Matter has already stated that they're strictly concerned with police brutality. There's many more issues that affect Black life over and above and beyond police brutality. So what we realized is that there needed to be a better, more focused way to actually capture the plight of Black life and actually begin to provide solutions for the plight that we see. Case in point would be, what about those Black lives of those children, babies in most cases, that are slaughtered in Chicago, New York, Detroit, Memphis, and other cities due to stray bullets? Their Black lives really, really do matter. But nobody comes alongside of them and helps those families, provide emotional and financial support. And those families are devastated to find their babies, you know, hit with a bullet overnight and not waking up the following morning. That's a real chilling scenario that happens far too often, and we're committed to doing something about that. What happens to the Black lives that are in the womb, and that Planned Parenthood admitted that they're racially targeting for extermination? Recent admission via Planned Parenthood New York. So what about those Black lives? I mean, clearly they're a racist organization. They're targeting Blacks for extermination. Blacks now in New York are there's more Blacks that are aborted than born. That is a systemically racist pattern that no one seems to care about. What about those Black lives? So we're concerned about Black life from the womb to natural death. And we're giving an opportunity for religious organizations, people that have faith foundations, people that are conservative, and others that are just concerned about the plight of Black life to come alongside of us and support us as we actually try to provide solutions to the Black community.
So this is obviously a Christian organization, and you formed a nonprofit, www.everyblm.org, and you're now starting to get out the word. And I want to find out about it, but I'm also curious, why is politically incorrect to say things such as all lives matter or things like that? Yeah. And people have actually been called racist just for making what I consider to be a statement of fact, because, of course, all human beings are made in the image of God. And I've done podcasts recently with Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who believes about one blood, one race, and that we're all one race, the human race. I believe that. I think all Christians should believe that. Right. Race is actually a construct of society, and the same person could be considered a different race in different countries just based on the color of their skin, whether it was South Africa or Brazil or the United States. In some countries, they consider Jews a separate race, right, which seems a little odd to us Americans. But, you know, race has less to do with biology and more to do with society. And so now, through a number of horrific events, it's come to the forefront, and this rather radical group, and all you have to do is go to their website and check out what they believe, they've almost made it politically incorrect. And I guess that's my question, where sometimes people are called racist just for saying that every life matters, or maybe all lives matter, or some such comment. What do you think?
Yeah, so what happens is all lives do matter. Every life does matter. And especially we as Christians, we understand that. We know that clearly. However, there are some who have endured certain types of slights or brutality or other things that have occurred. And so when you say all lives matter, it seems like you're insensitive and you're dismissive of whatever malignment they think they may have endured. So one of the ways I like to encourage people to think when they say, you know, well, really all lives matter, is to characterize it like this. And my mother helped me to understand this. She says, well, Black Lives Matter too, T-O-O. Now, if you think about that, and you think about that way of characterizing that Black Lives Matter, that may give you a little bit more understanding of what the actual message people are trying to say. When they see the media ginning up all of these instances of purported brutality, and there was no, you know, I mean, it was clearly brutality with George Floyd, but all these other instances over the years, people like my mother's generation and others are really trying to say, when they say Black Lives Matter, they mean and they want others to recognize that Black Lives Matter too, T-O-O. In other words, treat us exactly like you would treat somebody else of other ethnicity in the same or like situations. So, since we don't see a preponderance of people with knees on their neck like George Floyd, when the outrage of that situation was, well, wait a minute, Black Lives Matter too. Why can't people understand that Black Lives Matter too? That was the message. When you say, well, no, all lives matter, then to people that are trying to make that inflection or that distinction, you're dismissive of what they're trying to actually say. You don't acknowledge the fact that we're being dealt with in some situations with partiality. And we just don't want the partiality. We would like to be treated the exact same way that other people and other nationalities are treated in the same situation. And sometimes, a lot of times, it just doesn't appear that way. So that's really...
Well, let me see if I'm understanding what you're saying, because this is obviously an important point. It's as if there is an understanding in society, a civilized society, that all lives matter. But Black people, for a whole variety of reasons, often feel like people don't care about their lives.
Right. Exactly.
So what they're really saying is Black Lives Matter too.
Exactly.
And this has been co-opted. In fact, I interviewed Bishop Harry Jackson and several others, and they were saying we could go with the words, but not with the organization. Because I was asking him why more Christians are not speaking up about it. Because it'd almost be like them putting, in my opinion, like putting Antifa on the floor of the NBA.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, they're both They're anarchists, in my opinion. So I think that what you've just said is very, very important, that we want people to realize that our lives matter too, so that cops who don't get this are not let off the hook,
right.
People don't look the other way,
right.
And so forth. However, if I remember correctly, I heard someone rattle off the statistics, and how many incidents between police and civilians ended in death,
right.
How many of those dead, I'm going to call them civilians, non-police people, had guns, how many didn't,
right.
So in other words, how many were unarmed, how many were different ethnic groups, because that's really what we're dealing with instead of race, is ethnic groups. And if I remember correctly, it was like maybe 9 or 10
yeah.
a year that were unarmed black men killed by a cop. And, you know, it seems like the only lives they care about are the ones that are killed by cops,
right.
Which is a pretty small number. And actually, I think more people, like even in Milwaukee, you know, that horrific incidents, but then several people have died in the unrest since then.
Yes.
So I'm just interested that you have this nonprofit you've just started.
Yeah.
How are you enlisting other people to your cause? You obviously have a website, you've got t-shirts.
Yeah.
Are you hoping that this catches on around the country? What are your hopes and dreams for this?
Yes, that's exactly right. First of all, I would like to carry that thought through with the actual statistics. The actual statistics are thousandths of a point when you actually consider the actual number of police and civilian interactions, which are somewhere between 55 and 60 million a year. And then when you actually distill it down to number of deaths based on those interactions, we're around 9 or 10. And then when you distill it, you take the minorities or the black officers out of that, it's somewhere around 3 or 4 deaths by a white officer or on a black person. So it is very, very small. And this is actually why we've started Every Black Life Matters, because there are other aspects of black life that do really need attention and makes a very, very big difference in everyday black life. So, for instance, we're all about educational choice for the black community. We're all about fatherhood initiatives for the black community. Just those two points alone, we could actually significantly curb crime and poverty rates in the community. If we just focused in on school choice programs and fatherhood initiatives. So we could make some big differences in this, but to get on with your other point is, yes, we would love people to come alongside of our organization. Go to the website, www.everyblm.com or .org, it doesn't matter. And you will see all of our pillars and foundations and principles and frequently asked questions. Lots of articles, videos, all kinds of content out there that you can absorb. And you could decide whether you want to prayerfully come alongside of us or not. There's also opportunities to donate. And there's a store there. We'll have different types of apparel. So we have everything to make this message, make it strong. We are there for our faith communities to come alongside of us, because now when people say, well, do Black Lives Matter? Now we have the opportunity to give them a great answer. Every black life matters. And then we turn it on them. Now, does every black life matter to you? It's very simple. And if black lives matter, then every black life has to matter. So now we have a way to sort of take the high ground on the narrative and not be just succumb to their talking points.
Well, I really admire you for doing this. You're obviously a visionary. You know, you and I are at a pretty important strategic meeting. And you wouldn't be here if you weren't really strategic. And the meeting was not about this, of course, but I'm just so appreciative of you taking time and sitting down. And I hope that people will follow through. You know, this is a lot of good people want to do something, but they don't know what to do. And they're afraid that if they just kind of do it randomly, it'll come back and bite them, you know. And, you know, you kind of have to pick and choose your causes sometimes. But I think this is an important one. We've got to change the narrative, and the church needs to stand up. So thank you for standing up. Thank you for changing the narrative. And I hope the word gets out far and wide. So if you're listening to this podcast and agree with us, and I can't see how you wouldn't, it certainly makes sense and it's logical, share this with other people. Let's get something going on social media. We got to get the word out. Hopefully some of the news media will pick up on it as well. So thank you for listening to my podcast today. Tune in again tomorrow to the Strang Report. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you.
I'm back in the studio, and I wanted to say something about my books. Of course, this podcast was not about me or my books, but I like to tell my listeners on the Charisma Podcast Network to pick up a copy of God, Trump, and the 2020 election, as well as God, Trump, and COVID-19. The best way is to go to my own website called SteveStrangBooks.com, and books has an S on it, because all of my books, God and Donald Trump and Trump Aftershock, are there. There's different specials. You can get them in bundles. Also, if you want to buy a whole bunch of them, you get them real, real cheap. And all of the books, except for the ones in bundles, are signed by me, the author, and a lot of people like that. So go to SteveStrangBooks.com. That's SteveStrangBooks.com. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.